This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A potential about-face for the White House.
Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka. It's Wednesday, October 28th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The U.S. may ramp up efforts against Islamic State terrorists in Iraq and Syria. Here are the different proposals being considered, including one that could lead to more troops being deployed.
A South Carolina school resource officer is now being investigated by the Justice Department for how he removed a female student from a classroom.
In sports, the Royals battled the Mets last night for 5 hours before capturing Game 1 of the World Series. Game 2 is tonight.
And how Carly Fiorina seeks to regain her mojo at tonight's Republican presidential debate.
So the question for Fiorina becomes, can she capitalize on this next debate? Can she have a good debate performance again that helps her not only build momentum but sustain it?
Caitlin Huey Burns at Real Clear Politics previews the latest GOP debate in about 2 minutes. Well, a cop who slammed a student to the floor at a South Carolina high school while trying to remove her from class is being investigated by the FBI and Justice Department for potential civil rights violations. The officer, Ben Fields, who's been suspended without pay, is white, and the 18-year-old student is black. The video of the incident went viral. Mr. Fields was called to the classroom in the capital of Columbia on Monday to remove a student who refused a teacher's commands to hand over her cell phone. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott.
If she had not disrupted the school, disrupted that class, we would not be standing here today. So it started with her, and it ended with my officer. What I'm going to deal with is what my deputy did.
One of the students who videotaped the arrest told a local TV station that things quickly turned physical when the student also refused the deputy's request to move from her seat. Connie Streeter is a parent of a student in the school.
The student resource officer had a right to remove the student from the classroom. However, his methods of removing the child from the classroom were absolutely inappropriate and unreasonable.
The hashtag assault at Spring Valley High trended nationwide within hours of the student's arrest. The White House is considering deploying a group of Apache attack helicopters to Iraq as part of a package of new assistance programs to counter Islamic State terrorists. The move could ultimately require the deployment of hundreds more soldiers to Iraq. Among other proposals, U.S. officials said some in the military recommend openly deploying a small number of forces on the ground in Syria. Here's Defense Secretary Ash Carter.
We won't hold back from supporting capable partners in opportunistic attacks against ISIL or conducting such missions directly, whether by strikes from the air or direct action on the ground.
Another proposal, which is less likely, would insert small numbers of combat advisors on the front lines with Iraqi forces and possibly with moderate rebels inside Syria. If President Obama approves any of the proposals, it would represent a 180 for someone who's been trying to dial back the U.S. military role in those conflicts, not deepen it. Meanwhile, pressure's been mounting on the Obama administration since the collapse of a $500 million program in Syria that was designed to produce 15,000 fighters in 3 years. The third Republican presidential debate will be held this evening at the University of Colorado. Most of the attention will be paid to the new frontrunner, retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson, and the man he's recently passed in some polls, businessman Donald Trump. But among those seeking to regain lost momentum with another strong performance is former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina. More from Caitlin Huey Burns, reporter at Real Clear Politics. She joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Caitlin, what's up in the Fiorina camp?
Fiorina has been known to have very good debate performances and performances that have boosted her in the polls following those debates. But we've seen in recent weeks her post-debate bump, as we call it, has faded a little bit. And Ben Carson has risen, and so has Donald Trump, has maintained a lead. And Rubio, Marco Rubio, who also has had great debate performances, has also risen. So the question for Fiorina becomes, can she capitalize on this next debate? Can she have a good debate performance again that helps her not only build momentum, but sustain it?
All right, so what's going on then post-debate for Mrs. Fiorina? Does she have a poor post-debate message or what?
Well, the problem is a couple of things. One, it is very difficult for any candidate to really stay in the spotlight and stay relevant in this kind of political and media environment in which Donald Trump has been sucking up a lot of the oxygen, but Ben Carson has also been able to get and sustain attention as well. So really, you know, getting in front of the public on the larger scale is more difficult. Fiorina has been running a very exhaustive on-the-ground campaign. She has several stops each day almost in the early states. So she's running a very, you know, retail-oriented campaign. But her campaign has also been criticized for not really capitalizing as much as it could on these debate performances. She was able to raise nearly $7 million in the past quarter, largely due to that good debate performance, which is a great number, but she hasn't beefed up staff, and her super PAC, or super PAC supporting her, is running a lot of, you know, the traditional kind of campaign events focused on building coalitions and organizing on the ground. So her campaign has been criticized a little bit for not really expanding as it could have. So that's kind of what's going on there.
We're speaking with Caitlin Huey Burns from Real Clear Politics. Her piece is called Fiorina Needs Another Good Debate. We're talking about Wednesday night's debate in Boulder, Colorado. Interesting. All right, so do the experts say that she needs to do something different in the Colorado debate or do what she's been doing?
I think she needs to do what she's been doing, but she needs to, in some way, advance her message. You know, she entered this race as the businesswoman who could take on Hillary Clinton. And we've seen over the past several weeks her business record, namely her tenure at HP, has come under fire. And so that will be problematic for her. And it will challenge her to really explain her record and explain, you know, how she would govern. And she also has to compete with she also has to kind of find her lane. She is considered a political outsider because she has never held political office before, but she's not quite in the same vein as Ben Carson and Donald Trump. Fiorina has run for office before. We know she ran for Senate in 2010 and lost in a favorable year for Republicans. And her mindset and her pedigree, experience, and the way she views several different issues are more in line, really, with where the kind of the mainstream of the party is. So she's an outsider, but not quite. But she has more views in line with the establishment, but she's not part of the establishment. Mm. So it's kind of a tricky lane. Mm.
Thanks, Caitlin. Caitlin Huey Burns, reporter at Real Clear Politics. The debate, 8 o'clock tonight Eastern on CNBC. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. Glad you could spend some time with us. Good Wednesday morning. House Republicans have moved to impeach IRS Commissioner John Koskinen, arguing he violated the public trust. Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz of Utah introduced an impeachment resolution yesterday after the Justice Department concluded its investigation into IRS targeting of Tea Party groups with no charges filed.
We have done what hasn't been done since the late 1800s, and that is filed this resolution to impeach the IRS commissioner, and we intend to do that.
He was on Fox News Channel. Much of the impeachment charge centers around the destruction of several backup tapes that could have contained missing emails sent by Lois Lerner, the former official at the center of the IRS's improper scrutiny of conservative groups. Republicans have argued Mr. Koskinen was not truthful when he told lawmakers he would hand over all her documents, given the destruction of the backups. But in the past, the IRS has said it has fully complied with all investigations. 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here. She has more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. may shift its campaign against Islamic State militants in Iraq and Syria, including the use of direct ground raids. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says there would also be more airstrikes against high-value targets.
The changes we're pursuing can be described by what I call the three R's: Raqqa, Ramadi, and raids.
Observers say Carter's comments reflect acknowledgement of the lack of progress in defeating the militant group. Soft-spoken Ben Carson has been a low-key presence in the first two GOP debates, but the retired neurosurgeon is likely to get more attention in tonight's third debate after a series of polls show him atop the field in Iowa. Donald Trump has already shown he's eager to take on Carson, jabbing him for his speaking style and raising questions about his Seventh-day Adventist faith. It doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, your top healthcare concern is probably the cost of prescription drugs. According to a new poll from the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation, 77% say keeping drugs affordable is their number one healthcare priority, and a majority support government action to lower prescription drug costs, with 63% saying it would be among their top priorities. The UN General Assembly is calling for an end to the U.S. embargo on Cuba in a resolution adopted by a near unanimous vote. The U.S. and Israel were the only countries of the 193-member assembly voting against the non-binding resolution. The Kansas City Royals won Game 1 of the World Series last night, beating the New York Mets 5-4 in 14 innings. The game took 5 hours and 9 minutes, the longest World Series Game 1 ever. Game 2 tonight in Kansas City. And Abby Wambach, the leading career scorer, male or female, in international soccer, announced her retirement from soccer shortly after the U.S. national team celebrated its Women's World Cup victory at the White House yesterday. The 35-year-old has appeared in 252 international matches with 184 goals. She'll play the final four matches of the national team's 10-game victory tour before stepping away from the team in December.
252 games. International games. Not to mention all those pro games and stuff.
She's got to be a little worn out by this
185
time. 35
goals.
Years old. Sheesh.
184 goals. That's a lot of celebrations. 23 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. There's a sigh of relief coming not just from students, but also parents who are footing the bill for college. Wall Street Journal reporter Lindsay Gelman says next spring's college grads may find employers awaiting them with open arms. Lindsay, give us the forecast.
As employers look at their hiring projections for this spring's graduates, they're seeing good things, and they're projecting that they'll be hiring more new college grads than last year, and last year's market was pretty good.
So compare the two then. What's, say, different or slightly better about this year than last year?
As the economy continues to recover and as more boomers retire, employers are finding themselves able to hire more new people on the entry-level end of the hiring process. So they have more spots to fill, and they're able to expand their businesses just a bit more.
You know, what I thought was interesting, too, in reading your story was that there are a number of different surveys that have found this, that the hiring atmosphere is going to be good next spring.
Yes, so there's a survey from the National Association of Colleges and Employers, and they look at graduating seniors. Then there's another one from Michigan State University, and they actually looked across many different degrees, so associates, bachelors, various master's degrees, and doctoral degrees, and they found that people about to finish each of those respective degrees are more likely to find themselves with a job this year than last year. And there have been a couple others as well.
Wow. All right. So are there particular jobs that appear to be hotter than others?
Some of the data is still sort of to be determined on that. I think that tech is hot, and engineers have probably the best chance of scoring a job, especially in IT. But oil and gas has been hit pretty hard. So despite the gains that other sectors are seeing and that the market is seeing on the whole, people are struggling in oil and gas because of the slide of oil prices to hire, and employers aren't able to bring on as many new people as they had in previous years or as they would like to do.
Got it. We're speaking with Lindsay Gelman, Wall Street Journal reporter, about her piece entitled Class of 2016 Graduates May Step Into Millennials' Best Job Market Yet. What kind of salaries can these folks expect?
So that really depends on the sector, but the average starting salary for 2015 grads is a little bit north of $50,000, and that is up from the year before, 2014 grads. So the numbers aren't in yet for, of course, 2016. Folks haven't graduated yet, but the numbers continue to inch upwards, and of course they'll vary by sector. So again, with engineers netting higher salaries and other industries sort of falling in line from there.
Right. All right. So those juniors in college are thinking, wow, 2015 and 2016 are going to have pretty good runs. What about us? Right. Anybody looked ahead to 2017 yet?
Things, you know, seem to be on an upward trend. And as the economy continues to recover, I think it makes sense to think that the good news will continue, although we can't quite be sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Lindsay. Lindsay Gelman, Wall Street Journal reporter based in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. There's got to be a better way to mail and ship stuff. Going to the post office takes up too much time. Forget about leasing a postage meter. It's way too expensive. Turns out there is a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. You can even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. Did you know that you can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter? And you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It's Wednesday, October 28th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The U.S. considers a new strategy in Iraq and Syria. A South Carolina deputy being investigated for civil rights violations for how he removed a student from class. Another presidential debate tonight. World Series Game 1 goes to the Royals. A drone carrying drugs intended for an Oklahoma prison didn't make it. A new weapon for some cops in rural California. And I'm sorry to report that TMZ says UCLA has confiscated the hot tub that quarterback Josh Rosen had in his dorm room. Well, here is an ugly example of government inefficiency. Millions of records on gun purchases, potentially critical to tracing firearms used in crimes, sit in scores of cardboard boxes awaiting processing at the government's National Tracing Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Officials estimate that 1.6 million paper documents and other records arrive every month from gun shop owners who are required to ship their records when they go out of business. USA Today reporter Kevin Johnson has the exclusive. Kevin, what'd you see during your visit?
If you can imagine the hallways of a very large, I'd say a large office building, being lined almost in every direction with boxes full of documents, either waiting to be processed or waiting to be destroyed after conversion. They line virtually every hallway in every part of the building. And these are documents that come in from defunct firearms dealers around the country who are required to send their purchase records to the ATF to assist in potential tracing of firearms found in crimes.
Are there not enough people assigned to do this task? Is that the problem, kind of like an unintended consequence of that law?
Well, that's one part of it. In talking to officials there, they talked about, you know, how they could use a whole nother shift to assist in the transfer of these records. Another problem is that these records come in all sorts of shapes, sizes. There's no uniform way for delivering these records. Just in my short time there, I found bundles of index cards, handwritten notations related to sales transactions.
Goodness. We're speaking with Kevin Johnson, reporter at USA Today. His piece is called Millions of Firearms Records Languish at National Tracing Center. All right, so stuff randomly scribbled down on index cards or other pieces of paper. Somebody's got to translate somebody else's chicken scratch and what, make some sort of data entry?
Yeah. From that piece, from that record, they have to determine what the record means. And then even before they scan the record into the repository that they maintain. 16 hours a day, they have scanners that they bought from the Census Bureau that run all day long, essentially.
Wow.
To try to keep up with the supply of records that come in every month.
And as you point out, some of those boxes contain things other than records.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I was while there, the officials made no bones about how some of these records come in. Some of them, obviously, closing a shop can't be the happiest moment for a lot of these folks. So the final task of delivering the records often come with some of the signs of the frustration that went with closing the business. And that means included with the records are garbage, some dirty laundry, office trash from office supplies that they can no longer use.
Has anybody said, Kevin, that if this system was better, like, I don't know, there wouldn't be a crime committed, for example? Not every crime, but I mean, does anybody point to that saying, hey, we'd be better off or safer, you know, if this was buttoned up?
I think the ATF probably because, I mean, one of their reasons I would imagine for allowing me to come in to see this was to get some semblance of support that could make their situation better.
Okay.
And one of the reasons for doing that, they all seem to believe, is that the time that it takes to sort through this mess could be dramatically shortened from days to minutes if there was actual a real digital repository of these records.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Johnson, reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So to sum up the last few weeks in the burgeoning world of photography featuring aggressive New York City animals and their food, first we had Pizza Rat, then we had two rats fighting over pizza, then we had a rat taking out a pigeon in a park in an MMA-style battle a week or two ago, and now the latest city scavenger to go viral has been, very creatively dubbed, Bagel Pigeon. A Reddit user posted the photo of Bagel Pigeon, dubbing it the most New York photo I've ever taken. Bagel Pigeon appears much less feisty than his famous animal counterparts. The photo shows the bird perched on a fence outside of a park, wearing half of a large bagel as a matching necklace. No word on whether the pigeon is donning the bagel as a high fashion accessory or perhaps tried to bite off a lot more than it could chew.
Bagel pigeon.
Yes.
That's what we have now.
That's what we have. Actually, it could be clever, though, because the bagel is then sort of wrapped around the pigeon. Yeah. So all he's got to do sort of is just kind of peck around to eat the bagel.
I see.
Again, or perhaps maybe he's actually trapped inside the bagel and maybe he needs rescue. It's hard to tell just from a still picture.
Edible attire.
Right.
Essentially what we have.
Right.
If we brought back the rat.
The pizza rat, yeah.
The pizza rat. Mm-hmm. Pizza rat could eat the bagel off the pigeon.
Sure.
Really, really, we could have a great video there.
It would do that and then probably do some damage to the pigeon as well,
yes.
As we saw from the battle between the pigeon and the rat lately.
Well,
so
pigeons would not be missed in New York City.
That is for sure. And even if you weren't watching the World Series last night, but don't mind clogging your arteries a little bit before noon, make sure you stop by Taco Bell on your way to work on November 5th to claim your free AM Crunch Wrap. You can thank the Royals' Lorenzo Cain for your breakfast sandwich that day because it was his stolen base in last night's World Series Game 1 that triggered the Taco Bell Steal a Base, Steal a Breakfast promotion to kick in. Of course, there is one caveat. The free Crunch Wraps will only be available while supplies last, so you might want to set your alarm to get you up a little earlier, a week from Thursday, to claim your rightful prize.
All right.
Now, I was a little annoyed about this, and I'll tell you why.
Yes.
I had heard about this promotion, that it was going to be happening. If someone stole a base, you were going to get a free Crunch Wrap.
Right.
And then the stolen base happened, and then they said, oh, by the way, get your free Crunch Wrap on November 5th. I thought it was going to be today.
Ah.
I thought we'd get to go in today and get one. Now I have to remember a week from Thursday to go get it, and I was a little bit annoyed. And I think that might be a little bit deliberate on their part. I think a lot of people are going to forget in the next week and a half.
Clever promotion.
Well, yeah.
It's a lesson in delayed satisfaction, Mike.
Right.
We know you want the wrap, but calm down.
Sorry.
Put it on the calendar. Circle it in red.
Sorry. I want to shorten my lifespan right now. I don't want to wait till a week from Thursday.
Understood. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Vonage. Vonage is in the business of better with cloud-based communication features to help your business get the better it deserves. Vonage, the business of better. Game 1 of the World Series was almost known for as much as its technology problems as it was for its late-inning drama after the Royals beat the Mets. Google Fiber offered an apology to residents of Kansas City after the super high-speed internet network went down during the game. Cause of the outage not clear. Google Fiber is ultra-fast internet service, which offers speed of 1 gigabyte per second, about 100 times as fast as the average broadband connection. Customers can use it to watch TV and live broadcasts. It's only available in select cities, though. It's under the umbrella of the Google parent company Alphabet. And that wasn't the only glitch. The game was delayed for more than 5 minutes after the telecast from Fox Sports was bumped off the air. 8 minutes before the hour now on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to this budget agreement, is not the sweeping grand bargain to reduce long-term deficits that House Speaker John Boehner and President Obama once aspired to negotiate, but it would avert an immediate budget crisis, take care of other problems with Medicare and Social Security that were on the horizon, and give the expected new Speaker, Paul Ryan, some time to get established before facing chaos. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid.
This is how we should be doing things. Democrats and Republicans working together come up with something that's good for the country. This is a victory for the country.
Not so fast, says GOP presidential candidate Rand Paul, who called the deal horrible and says it's hard for him not to use profanity in describing it. Paul says he will filibuster the compromise. The federal recall system that's supposed to keep potentially dangerous car tires off the road is completely broken, so says the National Transportation Safety Board, which adds that while each year tire problems cause 33,000 accidents and kill 500-plus motorists, only one in five defective tires is being taken out of service via recalls. NTSB Chairman Christopher Hart.
Sometimes a consumer will look at a tire and not know that there is an aging problem because the aging problem is not necessarily visible.
The NTSB says the problem is also that tire manufacturers can't reach tire owners to warn them. Independent tire dealers aren't required to register the tires they sell with manufacturers, so most don't. Following a request by a South Carolina sheriff, the Justice Department has opened an investigation into a deputy's arrest of a female high school student in Columbia. Video shows the deputy wrapping his forearm around her neck, flipping the student and her desk backward, and then tossing her forward before handcuffing harassing her. The deputy has been placed on leave. A second female student who objected to the girl's treatment was also arrested. And if you're indulging your sweet tooth this Halloween, beware. Not all candies are created equal. According to a list compiled by Cooking Light, the one with the most sugar is, perhaps fittingly, Sugar Babies. The 21-gram snack-size packet of the candy-coated caramels contain 15 grams of sugar. Other sugary candies include a single Charms Blow Pop and a mini box of Nerds.
I think I'm in the minority, but I love candy corn.
Ugh, you are. That's awful.
Am I in the minority?
Oh, that stuff is terrible.
Oh, man. I stop after like 10 fistfuls, but that...
Chocolate. You got to go with chocolate.
I love candy corn. 6 minutes in front of the hour.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
A rural police department in Northern California has a new weapon in its arsenal, nunchucks. The Anderson Police Department, about 200 miles north of San Francisco, says the ancient martial arts weapon made famous in Bruce Lee movies has the impact of traditional nightsticks, but also allows trained cops to quickly bind wrists or ankles to control a suspect without violence. The Associated Press says nunchucks used in the Anderson PD are two solid sticks of plastic attached by a foot-long nylon cord. The 20 cops on the force are all trained. It comes about 20 years after their popularity peaked, pushed to the sidelines by tasers. Kevin Orchid of Denver, retired cop who says he's the only nunchucks maker for U.S. law enforcement, provides 3 days of training and certifies officers as instructors to teach others in their agencies how to use nunchucks. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. Hey, thanks for listening. If you love our show, we'd love it if you took a few minutes to give us a review on iTunes. And while you're at it, make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow.